We've been going through the book of Luke here at Journey and on Wednesday nights at North Star. And so I happened to choose a text for this week. Actually, I was thinking about several different things, but the thing that kind of kept coming back to mind was this one about the sower and the seed. And I looked at Derek's list of things that he wanted to have preached, and it happened to be, by God's grace, the same thing that I had chosen. So let me read from the book of Luke, chapter 8. I think you'll be able to follow it up here. Luke chapter 8, verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he scattered the seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good ground, and it came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. Now, a parable, you probably know, but a parable is a story that a lot of rabbis would use to teach a lesson that was beyond just the word, something that you could kind of see a picture in your mind when you were listening to it. And I think as for men, especially, I think we see in pictures much more readily, I think, often than women do. And I think Jesus' audience was mostly to the men, though to women as well. But when he told this story, a farmer goes out to sow his seed. Now, he was scattering seed. And I looked online just briefly, didn't look very long, but how do we plant seed today in the United States and around the world? Huge machines. One of them, they had two huge John Deere tractors with tracks on them, not even tires, but tracks, and they're pulling this huge thing along that has two air compressors on it, and they can put the seed down to exactly the depth, down to 9 inches into the soil. And they can plant up to 2,400 acres in 24 hours. It's incredible. They didn't do that this way back then. they grabbed a handful of seed and they just threw it. They just threw it, you know, just like it says. So there's nothing scientific about it. But when you throw seed, it goes different places. And back in those days, there would be the soil that you wanted to plant, and around the outside of the soil where you wanted to plant, there was a pathway, the hard soil, and it could be around the outside, it could be along the side, it could be down the middle of the piece of soil that you wanted to plant. Okay? Not all the soil was good soil either, as we notice here. And then let's go on. Before we get into what this all means, in verse 8, he said, when he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." Jesus often said this kind of thing because not everyone who came to hear him came to hear him. Some came to criticize, some came to find fault, some just came to see the circus. Do a sign for us. Do another one. And in the beginning of Luke, in the first several chapters, Jesus talks about what the kingdom of God is like. Starting in about chapter 10 or 11, he starts getting into, instead of the acts or the works of Jesus, in those later chapters, we have the words of Jesus. This is what This is what all of this means. This is the kingdom, the beginning of the book. This is the kingdom. This is how you get into the kingdom. Okay? And as Jesus is talking, he's teaching that there is a kingdom that is bigger than what we are. And it's not just following laws and following rules. Did you know that Jesus didn't die on a cross so that we would be nice? What? He didn't die so that we could have big buildings like this. Have big bus ministries or have this or have that and, you know, have big evangelistic crusades. Jesus didn't die for all of that. Some of you are saying, where are you going with this? Jesus died so that we could get to know his Father. So that we would get to know God. Even beyond forgiveness and eternal life, he wants us to know God. It was that important for him. Sorry, but it's that important to him. He said, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. In the book, the message says, are you listening? Are you really listening? Then his disciples asked him what this parable meant, and he said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. There are some people who are determined to not believe. They have plans. They have their life all set out. They are determined to not believe. It doesn't matter what proofs they see. When Jesus was alive, it was amazing. What kind of fortitude did it take for religious leaders? For religious leaders, what kind of strength did it take in their own thinking for them to see miracle after miracle after miracle and then refuse to believe? It wasn't that, show me another one. Oh, that one did it. I believe now. No. It was they refused to believe. One of the coolest things that I think Jesus was, and this is not, we're not quite to the text even yet, but one of the coolest things that Jesus did to call specifically to those religious leaders was when the four men brought the paralytic man and they tried to get in, but they couldn't get into the building because it was full of religious leaders. Jesus was talking to them, teaching them. They couldn't get in there with this paralyzed man. And so they went up on the roof and they tore off part of the roof. Okay? They let the guy down right in front of Jesus. And Jesus looked at the man and he said, ha, your sins are forgiven. That just floors me. Everybody else was looking and saying, Jesus, you missed this one. He's really paralyzed. Jesus saw what was important for this man. What really mattered, Jesus saw that his sins were burdening him down. Those were the things that were going to keep him separated from God, not his paralyzed body. It was his sin. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. The room was filled with religious leaders. And they said, what? You're blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And I'm sure that Jesus' spirit said, ha, I'm glad you said that because I am here to tell you I am God. And he said, so that you will know that the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sins, I say to this man, get up, take your mat, and go home. And he did it. And the religious leaders didn't just fall down on their faces and begin to worship him as God. They went away angry. And Jesus had just said, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say rise up and take your bed and go home? But so that you will know that I have authority, I say, take your bed and go home. Some of them, I think, eventually got it. Those religious leaders, I mean. But not all of them. And that's kind of what we're going to get to in a little bit here. Now, in verse 10 here, Jesus said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables. Did you know that God has secrets? Well, yeah. I think all of us know that God has secrets. There are mysteries. And even as I mentioned in the Ephesians passage, but he wants to let us know what those secrets are, those mysteries are, as we get to know him. He's not on purpose hiding himself from us. He's not holding back and saying, guess what I'm going to do next? That's not what God is about. He's saying, get to know me. You will know my heart. You will know how much I love people. Okay? Now, starting with verse 11. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy, and when they hear it, they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Now, before we go any further, I want to pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what has gone on previously in this service. I thank you, Father, for the message that you have for us today. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts, open our ears to hear you. Lord, I know that every person here is at a different place. Many are in a place of just checking out the faith, finding out, God, are you really there? Does this matter? And Lord, I thank you for your grace, for your mercy in our lives. I thank you for your willingness to keep giving us your love, keep giving us ways for us to see that you really are working. So Lord, today I pray that you would open our ears to hear the truth, that we would not be quick to be offended, but we would hear your voice and say yes to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, we started off by saying that this was the parable of the sower, but it really is more of a parable of the soils. There are three things in this parable. There are three elements. There is the seed, which is the word of God. There is the sower, and that's the one who is spreading the word. And the last thing is the soil. So let's look at the seed. Just for those of you who may not know what the seed is, what the gospel is, or what the word of God is, I think what God would have us do today, and you know, the Bible is full of what he's doing to reach out to us, and but this is just my short interpretation here. The seed is the word of God. I would say that it's the good news. how God himself made a way for sinful people to come to know him. How through the course of time he chose people, he loved them, he cared for them, he punished them at times, he led them, he gave them laws to live by, and by his mercy he forgave them and eventually made a way for everyone, all of us, all mankind, to come to know the Father and be saved. This good news was a new covenant or promise that was given by Jesus when he came. And he talked about this. Jesus talked about it and then opened the door for everyone to be able to come into the kingdom through him, through his blood. That he would die on a cross to take the punishment for my sin and for every person on earth, to offer forgiveness for sin, and then be raised from the dead and thus destroy death itself. And we don't have to fear death and punishment that awaits those who don't know God. The good news is that we have this forgiveness and everlasting life, and it's a free gift from God. Okay, that's basically what this good news is, right? The purpose of God, the Word of God is spoken so that hearts will believe and be saved. That's in verse 12. We can see that it says, those along the path are the ones who hear. The devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. To believe and be saved is the reason why the word is out there, the reason it comes to us. So we can say that this first group would be people whose hearts are hard or calloused, the soil, their ability to accept the word. It's hard. The devil comes and takes it away. We have a real enemy. We talked about that just a little bit earlier. And in chapter 13 of Matthew, this is a kind of a parallel of the same story. Matthew says that these people don't understand the word. And I don't know why a person necessarily doesn't understand, but there's a lot of things in our society, in our world, that can keep us from understanding the truth. A lot of things that we get into, a lot of pastimes that we have, that can keep us, for one reason or another, from understanding the truth or being willing to accept the truth into our lives. Okay? They refuse to believe. Some people just refuse to hear you even talk about Jesus. They might be really nice about everything. You can talk about sports and the weather, and you can spend the day with them, have them over for dinner, and they are just wonderful, delightful people. But if you mention the name of Jesus, suddenly things change. There's a spiritual thing going on here. There is the soil of our hearts. And in this particular case, the first group is hardened or calloused. Okay? Not everyone is ready to understand. I think when Jesus was saying this, I don't think he was saying that these people are going to permanently be this way. Not everyone is able to understand the word at any time in their lives. I believe that God allows things to come into our lives to make us more, shall we say, cultivated in our spirit, break things up, so that we are not so hard. So the end result is, though, with this first group, their hearts are hard, they're calloused hearts, they're unsaved, and if they were to die at that time, they would die in their sin. Group two. These are individuals who are identified as on the rocky ground. Now, you've probably seen in some places where there can be just a thin layer of soil on hard rock. And I've heard that in Palestine or in the Holy Land, there are shelves of rock where they've made it kind of level so that they can plant and build and that kind of thing. And in some of those areas, it's just limestone or just hard ground. And in cracks along the way, there's dirt. You know, just a thin layer of dirt. And that's the first place you begin to see plants grow up in the springtime. because it's warm. There's a little bit of nutrient there. The seeds can just settle in there, and the ground is warm, and the plants will come up. You can see it right away. The soil is not deep, though. And so even though in the spring when it's just raining a little bit and that soil has the seeds germinate quickly and they begin to grow, that's the first place the plants grow, but it's also the first place they die. So after it's been warm a little while, that's the places where you look out there and you see all the dead, dry plants. Some people would say that this group of people, it says that they received the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. Some would say that they are just emotional. And they are the kind of people who look for exciting things to happen in life for them, even in their spiritual life. They want something emotionally to be working up all the time in them. And God is only real if I feel Him. And in my years in the church, I've certainly seen that. And there are people who will go from this church to this church to this church to this church, wherever they think that or have heard that something exciting is happening. But God is not a God of emotion or feeling only. Okay, it's kind of shallow. This is the shallow soil. So one of the things that show the shallowness in these particular people is that when things start to get difficult, it said when the trials come, and trials will come. It said when trials come, they start asking questions like, if God really loved me, why would He let this happen to me? If God is so great, then I should still be feeling that He is so great. And if God is so great, He would not allow me to be tested like this. Who knows? I could fall. I could fall away from God if God doesn't pull me out of this. We'll find out later that God is not going to protect us or pull us out of every tough spot that we're in. And I think it's only in the United States that Christians feel like that we need to be wealthy and have every kind of toy and that God is going to answer every prayer that we have. If you go to some countries, many countries in the world, they are so grateful that they get to hear the good news. And the good news is that this world is not our home, and that I can be forgiven, that my life can change. Something inside of me can be, that has been so fundamentally broken and crushed and dark, can be changed in a moment by the power of God. That's what the message is. That's what God's calling us to know Him, right? Excuse me. So we're not saved by a feeling. We can't maintain any kind of emotional high. We have to get rooted. So, in the end result of this group, they're no better than the first group, really, because they once believed, now they don't believe. Okay? Third group of individuals are identified as those... the seed fell among thorns. They hear, and as they go on their way, they're choked by life worries, riches, and pleasures. The worries like, where am I going to get the money for my bills? I mean, I got these medical bills. I've got to, how am I going to pay the rent? I mean, I don't have any food for this month. I mean, the worries that we have, a kid that's sick, parents that I can't take care of because of one reason or another. I mean, so many worries that we can have. And the other side of it is riches. I mean, you got enough money, you can throw money at everything. I mean, you got enough money that you can just do this, do that, do the other thing. And so there's two different sides, the worries the cares of this life, as it says, and the riches. Two different sides there. Then it says the pleasures. We live in a society in the United States where pleasure is the big target. It's the big thing that we all want. I mean, we want to feel good. And so there's all kinds of things. I mean, from internet things to going to any store, just about any kind of a store you go into, there's some kind of thing that you got to have this next thing. You got to have this. You got to have that. You see pictures of this beautiful couple enjoying their trip on this, you know, a boat or in their motorhome or out on the road doing something fun, you know. We're going after pleasures. And there's nothing wrong with having pleasure in your life. But when that's our focus, this group of people has a divided heart or a crowded heart. They have the thorns. They have the things that are choking out what should be bringing out fruit in their lives. It's good seed that was planted, and the good seed should be bringing forth fruit. But all the other stuff is there too. And I think this group of people are people who want to hang on to the world and want to hang on to what God is saying. They see the value of knowing God, but I just got to have my stuff. You know? And it's, so we're torn. And I think we probably have seen that if I've been there, you're not really happy ever. You're just not satisfied. There is not something that, there's not a peace because you know where you could be, where you should be, and then there's this side over here that, but if I'm over here, I'm not going to be able to enjoy this. And you see what I'm saying? So we can, they're usually the most unhappy people because there's a truth and there's a decision that needs to be made. All right? All right. We live in a pleasure-oriented culture. Should I go to the movie or should I go to church? There's a constant struggle knowing that there are two kingdoms calling for our attention. Revelation 3:15 says, I know your deeds. Jesus was talking to the church at Laodicea, I believe it was. He said, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either one or the other. So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. John goes on later to write in verse 19, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Be earnest and repent. So he says there's a way out. You're not locked into this judgment. So today there's a lot of seeds falling in a lot of different areas. A lot of unfruitful or immature people in church. And we want to see God's work done, but we're too busy for it. Choosing to do the right thing is often just too hard. The strongest thing I want you to understand here is that we are meant to mature spiritually. We're not meant to just come to know the name of Jesus, have our sins forgiven, and sit back and say, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to, take me quick, Lord, I'm going to heaven. It's not enough to just have our sins forgiven and then go to heaven. Our hearts should have a deep desire to know God. And it doesn't come normally. It doesn't come naturally to human beings. But I think that God brings about things in our lives that cause us to say, well, what is causing this? Or, well, what I'm going through right now, God, is there something I should learn from this? So there are ways that God tries to reach into our lives, is pointing to things in our lives. And if we pay attention, he can pull us in. He can draw us in. Any of these areas that seem so dark and seem so away from God. And in fact, the hard thing is that in this particular area where people are divided, there is, it's accepted in the church. And I don't know your hearts. I don't know where you are with the Lord. But I really felt like that I needed to talk about this, because it's so easy for us to compromise. It's so easy for us to allow stuff to crowd out what's really important in our lives. We are meant to mature spiritually. This means surviving, enduring, persevering to the end. In the kingdom, the comfort that we are comforted with, we are to comfort others. In other words, the pain that we endure will cause us to be able to encourage other people in their times when they are ready to give up on God. Maturity is the goal. The fourth group are the seeds that fall on good soil, and those are people with noble and good hearts. They were prepared and ready for the seed. They heard the word, retained it, and by persevering, produced a good crop. All right? So, they were ready for the seed. They had a noble and good heart. Were they always that way? Probably not. There might have been a time earlier on when their hearts were hard, or whenever they were shallow, or whenever they had the divided heart. God is calling us to look at our hearts and say, what kind of soil is working in there? How ready is my spirit for your word? Because part of maturity is sowing the word. What? It's not for the pastors only? No, part of maturity is letting other people know the goodness of God. And when they see maturity in us, whenever they see life change, whenever they see that I was living this way, and in a moment's time, I had a change of heart, and I'm different now. I see a difference. My wife sees a difference. My family sees a difference. People in my job see a difference in the way that I live because something dramatic happened inside. There's a lot of people in the church that might even really be excited. They had this emotional experience, but they don't spend time with other believers. They don't spend time in the Word, and the emotion or the joy or the excitement starts to come down. And it always will. It starts to come down, and so they start doing things that look like what Christians would do. You know, you still come and you're smiling and you're saying, everything's great and God's good, but is it really in my heart? Do I go home sad that nobody spoke to me? Do I go home sad or broken because this person looked at me wrong, or, you know, whatever. I mean, we get offended easily. I'm saying that God changes us from the inside out. That's what he wants to do. That's what maturity is. So, in the maturity process, not everybody will have the same abilities. In other places, Jesus talks about the talents that each of us have. And some might have 10-talent person, or a 5-talent person, or a 2-talent person. And we won't get into that right now, but some of us have greater or lesser abilities than another person. But Each got back different amounts because of their talents. But there is still a call to maturity. And no matter what, there is still a reward for us as we do what God has called us to do, even though we may have more or less than someone else. So what I want us to go away from this today is hearing God doesn't have the same results for everyone. And we saw the four different ways. We can be hard, we can be shallow, we can have a divided heart, or we can be ready to hear the gospel and do something that God has called us to do. Our hearts determine the ability of the seed to be fruitful. The seed is good. It's our responsibility to determine how fruitful it is. Is your heart hard? Is it calloused? Is it shallow? Do you have a divided heart? Are you staying too close to the world? Staying too close to what you once did? You know, we work with people in addiction, and or I do, and it's very difficult sometimes all the time, when you see a person struggling with an addiction of some kind, and I think the first thing that I used to think was, well, just stop it. Just do something different. I mean, but as you know, if you are one of those who has an addiction, you can't just stop it. The more you think about stopping it, the more you want to do it. The more you are driven to do the very thing you don't want to do. God wants us to know Him. As we get to know Him, as we search more than anything else, if we want Him to be seen as great in our lives, if we want Him to be seen as great in the world, we're not going to be saying, God, take care of me. Do what I want. Our first prayer should be, Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, even though we have requests like, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation. Those kinds of things are important, but we want Him first. And a couple other things. It doesn't matter how clearly we understand who Jesus is, or who He is, or what He can do in our lives. We cannot know God and have eternal life and forgiveness until we respond to the invitation of Jesus to believe. It's not just learning about Jesus. It's not just learning about God. It's responding to Jesus saying, believe. In fact, somebody asked Jesus one time, what's the will of God? And Jesus simply said, the will of God is to believe in the one He sent. Believe in the one He sent. So you might say, well, how do I do that? Scripture doesn't say we have to believe this much or believe this much or believe this much or believe with a whole bunch of other people. Scripture says believe. Believe in Jesus. And your sins will be forgiven. You'll have eternal life. And you'll begin to know the Father. You will be part of the kingdom. Romans 1:16 says, the gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. We must believe and obey Him, and this will immediately be evident in a life change. Whenever Jesus spoke, whenever he performed a sign or a miracle, there was usually, actually always, a time for response. And I think that the hearing what we've heard today, there are several responses we could have. We could have a very common one, which is this is really a lame speaker, I wish we had a better one today. Or we could be offended. I mean, we can be offended. How dare he say something that might say that I am not a believer? Hey, I'm a believer. I've been a believer a long time, and don't you tell me I'm not a believer. Well, that tells me something about your heart. And God is not after us to just be nice. He's not about what we look at on the outside. He is really wanting us to look like Jesus on the inside. Because what we look like on the inside, what is going on the inside, will come out not only in our words, but will come out in the way we act. And as I mentioned before, just a reminder, the soils don't have to remain the same as they were in the beginning. So if you were one of those first three, you don't have to stay that way. Hard paths can be cultivated. Stony ground can have more soil brought in. Thorny ground can be cleared and cultivated. Why should you die in your sin when there's a way of life that's been prepared for you? Scripture says that God's not willing that any should perish. Our openness to the truth can be made stronger by the power of the Holy Spirit, and any heart can come to know this good news. Say yes to him today. Rejoice in his goodness, and as you get to know the one who's always loved you, be grateful. Let me pray. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you that you choose to use us, even in our weakness, even in the areas that where we're stubborn, even in the areas where we are weak and we don't even recognize that we are weak. Father, I thank you that you choose to use us. I thank you that you love us with a love that won't let us go. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for those with hard hearts today. Then they may not even realize they have a hard heart. But Lord, I pray that you would cultivate it, that you would soften them with water, with whatever it takes to bring them into the kingdom. Because this world is not everything. This is not the end for what we were made for. These human bodies were not made to just survive here on this earth. But Father, you've called us to be with you. I pray for those this morning who have crowded hearts, crowded lives, and the cares of life, and even wealth, and even the desire for pleasure can distract us so easily. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, give us ears to hear you. Shake us in a way that will cause our eyes to see you, our ears to hear you, and that we'd be once again hungry for the truth. Cause us to have noble, sincere hearts that have ground that is ready in our spirit to be fruitful. Cause us to hear you, Lord, and be ready and excited to tell other people about what you are doing in our lives. Thank you for your faithfulness. You have always been faithful. You will continue to be faithful. Help us to be thankful. Thank you again, Lord, for this time this morning, for your goodness to us. Blessed be your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.